For clues into what lies ahead in Iraq, consider the example of another country that was invaded and occupied by the American military. In 1898, U.S. troops intervened in Cuba, where a rebel army was fighting for independence from Spain. The United States rolled to a quick victory, and U.S. troops occupied Cuba for the next 4 years. NPR's Tom Jaltam reports on some parallels between the Iraq and Cuba interventions.
An alleged terrorist attack kills 266 Americans. A foreign government gets blamed, though there's little evidence of a link. The American people get stirred up, and the U.S. goes to war. In Cuba. Historian Luis Perez at the University of North Carolina sees what he calls eerie similarities between the war in Cuba in 1898 and this year's war in Iraq.
You could start with a war that inserts the United States in Iraq and the Middle East the way it inserted the United States in Cuba and the Caribbean. Both wars are launched in a general environment of popular support. Both wars rely on indigenous forces as military allies. Both wars last about a month with comparatively few battle casualties.
The sinking of the USS Maine in Havana Harbor was widely blamed on the Spanish government, though the U.S. Navy never made the link official. The U.S. government has not explicitly linked Saddam Hussein to the 9/11 attacks, but a USA Today poll last week found 53% of Americans believe Saddam was involved. Iraqi exile leaders, such as Ahmad Chalabi of the Iraqi National Congress, pushed hard for the United States to move against Saddam. Luis Perez notes another parallel in the lead-up to the U.S. intervention in Cuba.
The spokesman for the Cuban cause in Washington and New York is a conservative Cuban, actually a naturalized American citizen, a man by the name of Tomas Estrada Palma. And the similarity between the role that he played in forming legislators in Washington, businessmen, just sort of serving as this kind of the official representation of the Cuban cause. And from what I read, Ahmad Chalabi is, again, very striking.
The Cuban Americans of 1898 said a U.S. intervention in Cuba could help move the country toward democracy. Not all that different an argument from the one made by Iraqi exiles in the lead-up to the U.S. invasion of their country. Between 1898 and 1902, U.S. military governors in Cuba appointed all local leaders and supervised political activity there. But was the cause of Cuban democracy well served? The sociologist Irving Lewis Horowitz, writing in the journal The National Interest last year, said of the occupation of Cuba, quote, "The four-year interregnum between 1898 and 1902 demonstrates the simple fact that real liberation, much less democracy, cannot be given. Certainly not by the armed forces of an occupying power." Horowitz is a conservative, and he supported the war in Iraq, but he says his observation about Cuba could apply as well to Iraq. Democracy cannot be established by an occupation army.
You can't simply convert the idea of an armed force as a democratic force. That's not to say that what we did was not correct. The point is what you expect from such military involvement must be treated with a great deal of caution and, on the other hand, maybe even a little bit of skepticism.
The U.S. shadow hung over Cuba for the next 57 years. Cuba's political development was stunted, and it culminated in the dictatorship of Fulgencio Batista, who for much of his career enjoyed U.S. support. When Fidel Castro came to power in 1959, it was in no small part due to the desire of many Cubans to end U.S. domination of their country. That's a lesson the occupation authority in Iraq might do well to remember. Tom Jelton, NPR News.